Hallelujah. Good morning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and thank you for another day of partaking of your heart, your divine influence on your heart, so that we can have your thoughts and your will and your ways and be a beautiful fragrance. Thank you, Lord, that yesterday we were just so encouraged by Psalm 139 to see you know everything about us, and then also just to think that this beautiful world that you put it together all because of your great love, who you really are, a beautiful God involved in every way with all of creation, putting it together fearfully and wonderfully. And so, Father God, we can understand this morning that you're looking for total heart commitment, thought commitment, and then bringing our will and our ways in line with you. You've got wonderful plans for each and every one of us, Lord. Bless us with this word this morning and our lives to your beautiful thoughts and intents for this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're reading Matthew 21, verse 4 and 5. All of this happened to fulfill the prophecy. Tell Zion's daughter, look, your king arrives. He's coming to you humbly, sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt.
Hallelujah. So it's just so beautiful to see God's work here with his firstborn son, Jesus, the mediator of this new better covenant now that has got all authority. He is instructed very specifically and beautifully from the inside information. For what? To slot into the plan that heaven has for him, to be the exact image of the mold that he needs to reflect here on the earth, to bring about the kingdom, the goodness on earth as it is in heaven. So it's so exciting to know this is the Savior. He's tapped into his God, and as he's listening to him, he is fulfilling the role, fulfilling his purpose, fulfilling his destiny, fulfilling his name that is written in heaven. And then this wonderful mediator, Savior, King, Shepherd, our Counselor, Almighty God, says to us as well, as my Father sent me, so I send you. And then the word is clear on that. Jesus himself, he's actually upset with Peter because he says to him, you have not the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of men. So we need to understand. I was perceiving it like this just in the last couple of days, or thinking about this. When we first come and we give our lives to the Lord, hey, that's it. Hey, we've given our lives to the Lord. We're there for the Lord's ministry and we get involved in the ministry, good. And we wake up there that who knows the thoughts of God, the Spirit of God, and we receive the Spirit of God so as to know the thoughts of God and not to be carnal, but to be spiritual, all according to 1 Corinthians 2 from verses 11 right till the end. And then we get stuck into the ministry, and then we find, hey, we need the Lord every day because we can't be the fragrance we were made to be if we're not in tune. And that's like Isaiah 58. You see the dimensions, giving yourself to ministering to the people and then finding you need to help to stop pointing fingers, speaking wickedness. And then it takes you deeper, and then you start perceiving you have to partake of the inheritance that Jacob had to partake of, because Jacob would stay Jacob if he just, only with God's intervention and godly fellowship could he become Israel. And we understand that as well. We are the new creations, but now we need to behold all is new. So it becomes so much more than a daily thing even. It becomes a moment by moment thing. That's what we need to realize. And yesterday we were sharing about that he knows everything. And his thoughts towards us is as much as the sea sand. And then so beautifully, Jesus also says to his disciples in Luke 10:20, he says, your names, don't rejoice in other, but rejoice. That's where it's got to start first with, is rejoice because your name is written in heaven, Luke 10:20. And then we've got Matthew 12:23. It's three beautiful blessings that you have come to. God, beautiful blessings. You've come to your God. But one I want to point out there, it says you come to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven. And as you have come to the church of the firstborn enrolled in heaven, the the ones that are already there have run their race and they fulfilled that purpose, their name, they've done it. We are still running the race, but we have come to that with the name is written there for us. As plans and purposes God has got for us is recorded in heaven, and that's what he wants to work in us and through us. And that's why we need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And how does this take place? The wonderful beloved disciple John points it out to us in 1 John 1 verse 3-4. And he says, this God now, this wonderful Savior that showed this beautiful fragrance of goodness in his life here on earth, is now ruling and reigning together with the Father, the Holy Spirit, and the whole of heaven. And then he says, our fellowship is with the Father and Son. So that's where this whole thing comes together, and we tap into the thoughts, the intent, the purpose of God, tapping into him in fellowship, walking conscious of him on a daily basis, moment by moment, we get his thoughts and his intents. So we can proclaim what we have seen and heard, and then that is where our joy is complete. The disciples, heaven rejoices with us, the angels rejoice with us, Father, Son, everyone, the church of the firstborn rejoices, and we can rejoice also because our names are written in heaven. So be blessed, be enlightened, know this love, open up the veil to you of the beauty of heaven that God has got for you to bring on earth, because bottom line, his kingdom has got to come on earth as it is in heaven. I was reflecting on this about Jesus, and we can see a little picture of the magnitude of God's thoughts towards us, and reflected in his thoughts towards Jesus in Psalm 22. It's that psalm when he was on that cross for that 6 hours, and he starts off and he says, my God, why did you forsake me? And then it follows what he is thinking, what he is going through, what is happening around him. His bones he can see, that he's been, his hands and his feet are being pierced. And it goes on. This is how God, hundreds of years before, knew what would take place in those 6 hours. And he's reflecting on that now. So this is the bigness of God. It's a mind-blowing, the wonders and the bigness and the goodness of God. But the encouraging thing from verse 21. So it says from verse 21, the 10 verses that follow right on to verse 31 is partaking and thinking about the good that's set out for him, the goodness of that heaven has got for him, that he's going to bring and impart on this earth, which is relevant to us as well. 10 verses there out of the 31 verses talking about for the good set before him, he endured the cross. So guys, be encouraged, be blessed, be enlightened, be motivated, because it's for a time such as this that we are here to bring this unique fragrance of God's goodness on this earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.